The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So please be seated. So just exactly what does it mean to follow when God calls? Or when Jesus calls? We have two very different types of call stories in our text today, and we're going to look at them in reverse order. We're going to start with the New Testament lesson. Jesus is in Galilee. Now, that might seem kind of strange. Remember last week, Jesus was at the Jordan where John was baptizing. But that was John's gospel. We're in Mark's gospel. It gets a little confusing sometimes. But in Mark's gospel, the first time Jesus meets these people is when he is in Galilee, and he walks down to the lake shore and he calls Simon and Andrew to follow him. Now, we have no record in Mark's gospel of them having met before. We do in John's gospel, but not in Mark's. So we don't know exactly what happened. But they get up and follow Jesus immediately. They just drop everything and get up and go. Now, Mark's gospel is all about immediacy. Everything in Mark's gospel has this sense of urgency because Mark wants people to understand who Jesus is and why he came. And so everything happens immediately. But this whole story is a little odd to me. I mean, Jesus says, "Come," and they get up and go. No questions, no anything. They just get up. Now, James and John, even worse, James and John are in the boat with their father. They don't say, "Bye, Dad." They don't say, "Can we go?" They have anything. They just get up and follow Jesus. Now, me, I have questions. I want to know where we're going, how long are we going to be gone, what are we going to do, where are we going to stay. I like details. I want to know these things. And yet, Mark shows us Jesus going and saying, "Come on," and they just get up and go. No questions asked, no anything. The biggest question I would want to ask is, why? Why are we following you? Who are you? Now, again, we don't know that they may not know all of this already. They may have heard this and they were just waiting for Jesus to come by, but we read the text and it says, he came, he said, "Come," and they went. I don't think I could do that. I'm not sure I could do that. But for Simon and Andrew and James and John, it seemed to be okay. Now, let's look at the contrasting story. Jonah. Now, Jonah is somebody I can relate to. A reluctant prophet. Now, we only get a small glimpse of the story here. A very tiny little snippet of it. God calls Jonah and wants him to go to the city of Nineveh. This is in the first chapter, what we don't hear. And he says, "Go to Nineveh and tell them to repent, or God will destroy the city." Jonah does not drop anything to follow God. Instead, Jonah drops everything and exits stage left and runs the other direction as fast as he can go. He jumps on a ship. He gets out in the middle of the ocean. God sends a storm. The ship's about to wreck. Jonah says, "It's me. Throw me overboard." So the captain throws him overboard. The ship calms. Big fish comes by, picks up Jonah, takes him for a little ride, gives him a little chance to think about the error of his ways, and then spits him up on the beach. And God again says, "Jonah, go to Nineveh." Okay. Now, the other twist to the story is that when Jonah gets to Nineveh, he hikes a whole day's march into the city and says, "God will destroy the city in 40 days if you do not repent." Now, at this point, Jonah doesn't want them to repent. Jonah wants to see them burn. All the trouble he's been through, he's not ready for that. But, of course, the people of Nineveh listen to Jonah's instructions, and they all put on sackcloth as a sign of their repentance. Even the cows have sackcloth. And then Jonah gets mad at God because God is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. Jonah doesn't like that. And I think that's sometimes how we feel, don't we? Why should we go out and tell others about God and about God's love and God's forgiveness when we know God just going to forgive them? We want to see somebody burn, don't we? We want a God who punishes the way we think people should be punished. This forgiveness stuff, well, that's okay for me, and maybe for you, but not for them. And like Jonah, we use this as an excuse for not following when God calls us sometimes. Of course, sometimes we just don't listen very well either, do we? I think that's probably where I fall in. I remember very clearly the first time God called me to go to seminary, and I said, "Nah, I can't be hearing this, right?" 26 years later, I finally got the message. We sometimes don't hear. And other times we find excuses for not doing things. Or we're like Jonah and we just don't want to do it because we know God's just going to forgive them anyway. So why should we keep them from their punishment? The point of all this is that God really does call us. And he calls us for a variety of things. And it's never, ever about us. It's never about us. It's not about us being ready or being perfect or well-trained or even, as we see with Jonah, willing. Jonah wasn't very willing. But God does call us. God does empower us, perfect us as we need to be, and then sends us out, willing or not, to do whatever God has tasked us with. It's not always the one who looks ready. It's not necessarily the one who is sure they heard God when they didn't, or even the one who sits around waiting for God to call them. God calls us all the time for those who are able to listen. And God calls us and expects us to be like Andrew and Simon and James and John, ready to drop everything and go. God calls us to help our neighbor, to pray for those in need, and even sometimes to go to seminary and go out and teach and preach the good news. We are called to be ready not to run away or to argue or to compromise, but to simply say, "Yes, Lord, here I am," and then go and do as he wills. Amen.